Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, we are now entering the season of Advent, which is a big deal in the church because, you know, Christmas is coming. And what Advent means is it's a time of waiting, a time of waiting. We have our Advent wreath that we have our first candle lit for. But I want to make sure we all know and we all understand that technically speaking, Advent doesn't start until tomorrow. So don't be going home and eating the first candy out of your Advent calendar today. You got to wait for tomorrow for that. The thing I wanted to talk about in our season of waiting this year, I want to look at the names that Jesus is given in Scripture, in particular in the book of Matthew. He's given four names in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 begins, "A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Today I wanted to talk about this. What do we mean by the son of David and the son of Abraham? Now, when we look at people's names, they mean something. People's names have meaning. And usually somebody is born and they get their name right away. And sometimes the name fits and sometimes it doesn't. For example, my wife Robin, her name fits her perfectly because she sings like a bird. And my daughter Ruby, her name fits her perfectly because she's a precious jewel. Sometimes people's names don't quite fit them properly, so they get nicknames. We get called a lot of things in our lives, and I don't mean necessarily those things that we get called. We can ignore those things. But sometimes we get nicknames. We get names that we adopt, or sometimes they're given to us and they stick. I haven't always been excited about my name, the name Colin. You know, growing up as a kid, I didn't know anybody else with that name. So I made an attempt once to change my name a little bit. When I went off to college, I figured I'm going someplace, I don't know anybody there, and nobody knows me. I can tell them anything, and they'll believe it. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to use my middle name. My middle name is James. I went away to college, and you know what, I'm Jim now. Somebody asks me my name's Jim. So I get there, and I meet about one of the first people I'm going to meet, and we're actually kind of on my way to a party. I hadn't met too many people, and I met this fellow, and he introduced himself to me. His name was Jay. And he said, "Hey, I'm going over to the party at this fraternity house. You want to come with me?" "Sure, that sounds like fun." "What's your name?" "My name's Jay." "What's your name?" "Colin." Ruined it. But the name's grown on me. I'm starting to accept it a little bit better. But one of the things that Jesus was referred to in this book of Matthew was the son of David and the son of Abraham. And that's important. It's important that we understand that these are some of the things that Jesus was to be called. The Old Testament has a lot of prophecy in it about the coming of Christ. And we're not going to go through all of it this Advent season because, to be honest with you, it would take more than one Advent season to go through all of this. But I wanted to hit on a few of these today because they're important to this name. You see, it's for us a season of expecting and a season of expectation and waiting, because everybody back then was waiting, and they have been waiting for a long time. We think December's a long time. We think 25 days to wait until Christmas is a long time sometimes, but it's really not. Going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit and got caught, God started laying down the curse. And as part of the curse upon the serpent, he said this. This is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman." He's speaking to the serpent, or he's speaking to the devil, as we often consider now. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." This is the first prophecy of the coming Messiah. You know, this is explained further in the book of Genesis, that it is in fact Christ who would crush the serpent's head. But this is the first prophecy of the coming of Christ. They were waiting for him then. Adam and Eve were waiting for the Messiah. Eve was hoping it would be one of her sons. They were waiting. And this was 6,000 years before Christ. Is it 6,000? I don't remember the math offhand. If you go back and do the math, I think it was about 6,000 years. A little later in the book of Genesis, in chapter 12, we skip ahead a little bit, chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. This is the covenant that God was making with Abraham. He was still called Abram at the time. God said to him, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And the people on earth will be blessed through you. It's this blessing through Abraham that we're told is the coming Messiah. Now, you see, when Jesus came in Israel, everybody knew who Abraham was because he was the great patriarch of their people. In fact, the whole nation referred to themselves as the sons and daughters of Abraham. And we, as Christians, look back on that kind of adopted into that faith. We have that song, Father Abraham had many sons and many sons had Father Abraham. Used to sing that at church camp all the time. Used to sing that in Sunday school. We consider ourselves, you know, as Gentiles adopted into the family of Abraham. So we would know then that that from this covenant that God was sending the Messiah through Abraham, through Abraham's family. In fact, Abraham was probably hoping that the Messiah would be his son directly. But again, they had to wait. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, the prophet Samuel here is talking to David. It would help if I looked at 2 Samuel, because 1 Samuel 7:16 doesn't make any sense. There we go. The Lord speaking to David through the prophet Samuel, it says, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. You see, here we're talking about the king of Israel. David is the king of Israel, and he's been told that his family will be king over Israel forever. And we assume then that the Messiah would come through this kingly line. The Messiah is the anointed one. And it's certainly, it's the kings who are anointed. They're set aside for this special purpose. And one day, a leader would rise up and save the nation. That's what people were expecting. And people have been expecting it since practically the beginning of time, waiting for this salvation, waiting for this Messiah, waiting for the very first Christmas. And people have been waiting and waiting and waiting. David speaks of this again later in one of the Psalms, Psalm 89, verses 35 through 37. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever, and his throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. You see, God doesn't lie. He keeps his promises. And here he is promising the throne of David to continue. And so when someone refers to Jesus as a son of David, they mean that he's the king. I've even heard some scholars say that perhaps David, King David's name wasn't really David, but that the name David meant king. It was a word for king. And that being the last born son of these simple shepherd family, he might not have had much of a name, but was given the title David when he became king. I don't know if that's true or not, but the name David just resounds back to this man, this great king of Israel. And to be known as the son of David meant that you were an heir to that kingdom. And when the angel appeared to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, when Joseph had found out that Mary was pregnant, his betrothed was pregnant, and he was thinking about divorcing her quietly because he wasn't the father. Matthew chapter 1 verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. You see, Joseph was part of that line. The first part of Matthew chapter 1 goes through the lineage of Joseph. And I'm not going to go through all that, but Joseph was a descendant of David. And David, of course, a descendant of Abraham. So Jesus was a son of Abraham. Jesus was a son of David. Now, at this particular time in history, Israel didn't have a real king. Israel was part of the Roman Empire. It had a governor set over it that some people titled the governor as king, Herod. You might remember that name. Not a whole lot of kids running around these days called Herod. But he was the governor. He was not the legitimate heir to the throne. Joseph was. But he was a simple carpenter. He was not able to actually take the throne that was due him, but his son would. And so his son would be called the son of David, the son of Abraham. He would have this place of honor. You see, people, when they were waiting for the Messiah, they were waiting for him as the king. They were waiting for this great warrior king to free the nation. And they misunderstood. That's why they were expecting that. People were expecting the Messiah to come and free Israel from Rome, just the way Moses came and freed Israel from bondage in Israel. But Jesus came to do so much more. He came to free mankind from the bondage of slavery of sin. You see, people didn't get that. People didn't understand that. But the fact is, as a son of Abraham and as a son of David, he was a king. He was the heir, the proper heir to the throne of Israel. The fact that he was raised as Joseph's son, I know biologically he wasn't, but he was raised as Joseph's son, adopted as Joseph's son, and therefore the heir to that earthly kingdom, which he never really claimed, because that didn't matter. What mattered is the rest of us. What mattered was the promises that had been made for thousands of years were being kept. That's the Christmas story. You see, the Magi would eventually come because they saw in the stars that a king was being born, and it was a king. And they came to pay homage to him because that's what they should have done. And as we are preparing for Christmas, we need to remember who this Jesus is. Not just that he was a king a long time ago in Israel, but he is meant to be our king. We have accepted him as our king, the king of heaven, enthroned on a cross, enthroned in our hearts. When I decided that this Advent season I was going to be doing this series of what the names Jesus was referred to in Matthew, and looking at this, I kind of wondered, you know, because when you hear a sermon, you hear a message, you want something to take with you out of it. And I think the thing we need to remember today, you know, we call ourselves Christians, we call ourselves followers of Jesus, and what does that mean? We need to remember he's the king. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we just call ourselves Christians because that's what we do. But we need to remember that we're following this king. And we need to remember what it is we're looking forward to in this Advent season. Not just a little baby born in a manger, but a king. A king who was expected. And a king who came to save not just Israel, but the whole world. That's what we're taking away from this today. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
For the benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And you know, something I like to remind people, I like to remind Christians of this, the fact that Jesus calls us his brothers and sisters, right? And he's the king. That makes us princes and princesses, doesn't it? That's good to know. That's good to know, princes and princesses of heaven. I think that's what we can take away from this, because that's who we are. We need to be reminded sometimes, and that's what this was today, is a reminder of that hope that we have for what's coming. Not just Christmas, but what's coming. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.